what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host. For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. I know you have regular meetings at work, perhaps more than you like, but do you have a regular family meeting? Every company or organization has a mission statement. Does your family have one? We all know the importance of having your employees' voices heard and having a say in your company's business. It engages them, makes them feel more productive, makes them feel like the boss is listening. What about your family's business? Do you believe that children should be taking an active role in their own upbringing? How often does your family gather around the table for dinner? Running your family like a business is a concept that is gaining great popularity lately for a simple reason. It works. With us today to discuss this concept and the secret to a happy family is Bruce Feiler. Bruce writes a column about contemporary families in the New York Times and is the author of five consecutive New York Times bestsellers, including Walk in the Bible, Abraham, and The Council of Dads. He is the writer-presenter of the series Walk in the Bible and the forthcoming Sacred Journey on PBS and appears frequently as a commentator on radio and television. He is a native of Savannah, Georgia, who lives in Brooklyn with his wife and their twin daughters. And it is my distinct pleasure to have him with us today as my guest. Bruce, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me and for making this happen.
Oh, I'm delighted. As I told you before we went on the air, I have to tell you that when I saw your article of last February in the Wall Street Journal titled Family Inc., it put a smile on my face because I have yet to see a piece of writing that so wholly embraces the very concepts of my own book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, that being the concept of running your family, including raising your children, with the strategies used in running a successful business. Why is this approach the secret to a happy family, which is also the title of your latest book?
So let me pull the lens back a little bit and talk about why I began this project and where I agree with you and where I might slightly disagree with you. But as you heard, I'm a writer, and I've written, this is my 12th book, and I spent much of my life writing travel adventure stories about traveling around the world. I became a parent. My daughters, you mentioned I'm the father of twin daughters, they just turned 8. And 3 or 4 years ago, I felt as if we had hit a wall. We had gotten through the diaper years, the sippy cup years, the napping years, all that early stuff, and we were ready to build a family culture. But we didn't know how to do it, that we were lost. And almost, like almost every parent I know, and since my book has come out now a few months ago, I've been on tour. It's been a top 5 New York Times bestseller. I have encountered this over and over again, that parents feel lost, out of control, chaotic, as if we're always playing defense and never playing offense. So the question is, how can we play offense more? How can we get ahead of the curve? And the second problem I have is that the ideas that are coming from the family improvement industry, as I call it, right, the shrinks, self-help gurus, and these other experts are stale. They've had their say. And in all other realms, that includes business, but it also includes sports and the military and science, there's lots of new ideas about how to make teams and groups work effectively. And I went out in search of those ideas and tried to say, whether it's talking to our kids about sex or money or getting through the mornings or dealing with dinner or whatever the challenge that we're facing, we know how to do it better. Let me gather that into one place. So I did get a lot of ideas from business, and we can talk about some of those ideas. But I am not saying you should run your family like a business, which is the headline that the Wall Street Journal put on my article. I think there are important differences between families and businesses. You can fire your employees. You can't fire your kids. You know, businesses are trying to win. Businesses are trying to make money. There are lots of differences. Having said that, there's also been more money put into how to study how teams and groups work in business than in other area. And I wanted to find out what a lot of business people, such as you, were doing with their families and then test those ideas out with my own wife and kids. And we found that a lot of them have been very helpful.
Such as?
Well, let's just talk about one of the ones you mentioned. So what is the biggest challenge I think that families and parents face these days? We're busy. We're chaotic, okay? The Families and Work Institute asked 1,000 kids, if you could change one thing about your parents, what would it be? The parents predicted that their kids would say, spending more time with them. But they were wrong. The kids said their number one wish was that their parents be less tired and less stressed. So let's just talk about the pace of change, right? Because when I was growing up, right, moms weren't working, dads weren't really parenting, families were very narrow in the types of families. So we have all these changes, right? The definition of the family has changed, blended, adopted. Moms are working, dads are involved in parenting, but everything changes all the time. So how do you deal with that? Well, the smartest families and the most successful and happiest families that I encountered have family time, have a meeting. So we now in our family, we have a 20-minute meeting every Sunday night. You alluded to it earlier. We ask three questions taken from the smartest management techniques of the moment called Agile. We ask three questions. What's working well? What's not working well? And what can we focus on in the week ahead? And that simple act of saying this is the time where we're going to talk about what's going wrong, because the reality is, what you're doing in September is an irrelevancy to what you're doing in May. What you did last week is different. Maybe mom's got a business trip this week. Maybe one kid's got a sporting tournament, or the other kid has a play practice, or the prom may be coming up. You need to change, but if you change every day, everybody will go crazy. So this idea of a weekly meeting where you sit down for 20 minutes is a safe zone where everybody can talk about, okay, these are the challenges that we're going to face in the next couple of days.
It's a tremendously productive time for any family, regardless of how family is defined. Any group of people who come together that they have to interact and actually be together 24/7 almost. What do you find the most valuable thing? I want to ask this question from both ends, from the parents' side and from the children's side.
I think from the parent side, I think the most valuable thing is you don't have to have every fight in the moment that you're having the fight. So if you're trying to get the broccoli down on Tuesday night or argue about the curfew on Thursday night, you don't have to have the entire battle at that moment. Because what happens with kids is, as you know, they come to you in your most vulnerable time, when you're trying to get breakfast on the table, when you just have to check in with the doctor, when you have to answer that email at work at 9 o'clock at night. Whatever it might be, they come to you at your most vulnerable time. And at that time, you say, look, we're not going to talk about this now. We're going to talk about it in the family meeting on Sunday. That's one benefit for the parents. The other benefit, another big benefit for the parents is that one of parents' number one complaints is that they don't have access to their children's innermost lives. We don't know what our kids are thinking or feeling. And so by sitting down and having them say, oh, I'm really stressed about this test, or I'm really, you know, it's not working with me for breakfast in the mornings, or whatever their complaint might be, this family meeting, it's amazing what comes out of the kids' mouths, and we can't always guess what punishments are going to work, what rewards are going to work. So the idea of bringing them into the conversation, it helps the parent because it puts more less pressure on them, but also it serves the parents because it gives them access to what their kids are thinking, and it helps those kids practice the independence and decision-making we want them to have when they're teenagers or later in life. So that's from the parents. From the kids' point of view, I would say it just lets them blow off steam. And we let our kids in the meeting criticize their parents. Like, if they want to complain that dad's yelling too much, and my kids often complain that dad's yelling too much, it is a safe zone to talk about that. And I can say, look, well, the reason I'm yelling in the morning is because I want you to brush your teeth and be on time for school, but if you don't like my yelling, then give me an alternative. Okay? So maybe we, for example, use a morning checklist a lot where they have to check off what they're going to do. I'm not going to yell. And by the way, if you don't make it, you tell me what the consequence is going to be. So maybe it's going to be push-ups. Maybe it's going to be 10 fewer minutes of reading at bed. Maybe it's going to be an extra 15 minutes of chores. You tell me what the consequences are going to be if you don't finish your homework on time. That way, I get to stop nagging you, and I get to know what's going to motivate you. So the kids like having a voice in the conversation.
They do like having a voice, and kids like having rules. They have to know, presumably because of the lack of the life experiences parameters of setting your own box. They need to know where the limits of that box is, and they need to know what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. They need to know what the rules are. And by doing that, by having that conversation, it is vesting the kids into the family that they don't feel like they are quote unquote order takers, or we have every reaction they have has to be a reactionary type of thing as opposed to being proactive.
And we know also a lot more now. I mean, we know that nothing is top-down anymore. Not business, not government, not even the military, not religion. The best ideas win, and we need to prepare them for that. And we know we can go even one step further, Chris, as we now know what's going on inside kids' brains. And we know that children who set their own goals, evaluate their own work, you know, make their own schedules, they're actually building up their brains, their prefrontal cortex, and it is giving them the skills they're going to need later on. You can't just get a kid to 16 or 18 or whatever it is and say, go forth and make your own decisions if you've never given them any practice. So what this does is it gives them a voice, gives them practice, because you don't want your kid at 24 calling you, I don't know how to manage money, I don't know how to make a decision, I don't know how to do my own laundry. That's what you don't want, so you need to be practicing along the way, in effect, when the stakes are a lot lower.
Without question, it's all about empowering the child, is it not?
It's about empowering the children. It's not the kids that don't rule the roost. There's plenty of parental control, but you are empowering your children as much as possible, because that way everybody in the family will be happier, they will be happier, it will just run more smoothly.
The secret to a happy family. My guest is Bruce Feiler, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Efesiou. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in for an enlightening and thought-provoking program called The Child of Gulag. Our program is hosted by Dr. Yuri C. Feinberg, a political refugee and former citizen of the Soviet Union. Dr. Feinberg will add his unique perspective to issues that affect us today and will show how many of these issues are tied to the past, whether directly or indirectly. We'll also discuss future implications of these issues. The forum is open every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou with my guest, Bruce Feiler. For information on this program and other activities, please visit my website, chrisefesiou.com or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Don't forget, we have a contest going on through May 24. The winner of this contest will be my co-host on this show. For details, visit straightupwithchris.com. You definitely want to visit Bruce's website. His website is brucefeiler.com. His Facebook page is Bruce Feiler, and on Twitter, he is at Bruce Feiler. So having a regular family meeting where schedules and grievances are aired and important things are discussed, what works, what doesn't work, what we need to do, empowering children, it's all a part of the secret to a happy family. But another part is having a mission statement, Bruce, isn't it?
Well, adaptability is very important, and as you know, in The Secrets of Happy Families, I basically have found while working on this project that happy families do three things and have three things in common. They adapt all the time, they talk a lot, and they go out and play. So adaptability, I think, is incredibly important. It's what we were talking about in the first segment. It's being adaptable, changing, not being rigid, being flexible. But you do need bedrock. And here again, an idea that has existed in the world for some time but has been kind of kept away from families can be very helpful. And that is the idea of writing a family mission statement. And when I first heard this idea, I actually thought it was cold, maybe a bit too corporate. But then someone said to me, can your kids say what values are most important to you? And I thought, well, I'd like to think that they could, but the truth is I've never told them. And so I was willing to give it a try. So we all gathered together. We had a pajama party. We piled into the bed in the bedroom, and we had this conversation. And I put all these questions and words into The Secrets of Happy Families so people could do it on their own. Like, okay, what values are most important to us? When we leave the house, what do we miss the most? When friends come over to visit, what are we most proud of? And it was an incredibly meaningful conversation. It didn't always go as we expected. We eventually ended up with 10 statements that kind of capture who we are. We are travelers, not tourists. We help others to fly. We bring people together. These are not things that we necessarily achieve all the time, but it is our goal. And again, we know, Chris, from the research now that if you want to achieve something, you got to set a goal, right? If you want to lose weight, you got to set a goal. If you want to improve business performance, you set a goal. And it's the same thing with families. This becomes kind of our ideal, and it lives, it hangs on the wall in our dining room right now. And I have to say, once or twice a week, we refer to it, usually to kind of remind the children, are we getting a little away from what's our goal? And of all the many things that we tried in the book, I would say this has been one of the most satisfying and successful. And it's also, I would all add, it's maybe the number one thing people have read since The Secrets of Happy Families came out, and people have been reading it and implementing. As I said, it's been a New York Times bestseller. This is the thing that people have written me most about, creating a family mission statement. It works with kids of all ages.
It does, and congratulations on the success of the book, this and every other one. You've got the Midas touch, and for good reason. I mean, your advice makes sense, and it's actionable. It isn't theoretical. It isn't stale. It is very much contemporary, and whatever it is that you read, whether it be in your book, your column, anything that you pen, you can take nuggets of information out of that and put them to work immediately, and that's in my mind one of the keys to your success. But back to the
that's very kind, thank you.
Oh, certainly. Back to the mission statement.
Yeah,
it is. I can't tell you how many times I have dealt with business colleagues who have resisted having a mission statement because, well, they know what's important to them. And that's especially true with smaller businesses. Startups, entrepreneurs are used to executing constantly, not really wasting time to put things down that are nice to have, but they're not necessary to have. The excuse is, I can use this time to advance the business. But the problem oftentimes, and I have counseled colleagues to really be disciplined on that, is that just because you know, you, the entrepreneur, the head of the company, the big cheese, knows where it is that you are going and where it is that you want to take this company, it doesn't mean that those who are working with you, A, know about it, or two, buy into it. And that is where the mission statement is incredibly important in a business, and equally important, if not more so, in a family. Won't you agree?
My wife works with entrepreneurs, and so we spend a lot of time having this conversation. She runs an organization called Endeavor that supports entrepreneurs around the world. They operate in 20 countries. They picked 1,000 entrepreneurs in the last 15 years. And she herself is writing a book now, and we've been having all these conversations. And one of the ideas that her entrepreneurs have identified as the biggest problem is defining what is the company culture. Because maybe if you're lucky, as you said, the entrepreneur, the founder, the head of the organization does know. Maybe if you're lucky, that person has communicated these ideas to the top 3 or 4 people. But if this organization is growing, or if this organization has been around for a while and hasn't examined its core mission, I recently talked to somebody who was working on a very large supermarket chain in this country. They had lost their way after a long time. So the truth is, not only do you have to do it, you have to constantly revisit it and identify what is our company culture. Cut to a family. As hard as that is in an organization, it could be a nonprofit, it could be a sports team, it could be a company, it could be whatever. Now let's talk about the family. Maybe the thing that I learned most, Chris, is that we have our jobs, and we, for the most part, know we have to work to get better at that. We have our hobbies. We know we have to get better at that. Your tennis game is not going to get better, and your garden is not going to get prettier unless you work at it. We even know we have to work on our bodies and our relationships. But yet somehow there is this idea that our families will just naturally take care of themselves. That is the problem, and that is the hurdle. Because that's just not true. And what I have found is you can take small steps, and it will be meaningful. I gave, the day my book came out a few months ago, I gave a presentation in New York City. The president of my publisher, HarperCollins, came, said he had to leave, ended up staying the whole time, and heard this thing about a family mission statement and values, went back home. He wrote me a letter the next day, an email the next day that said, I had a three-hour conversation with my teenage son about our values. That is the longest conversation I've had with him in 2 years. And this is the key. One thing when you're five, but as those kids get older and as they start to pull away, and we know teenagers spend half as much time with their parents and twice as much time with their peers between 12 and 16, that's the moment you need it most. Because as I was coming to pick up this call to have this conversation, I was listening to a story on NPR about teenagers and marijuana, okay, and kids from private schools and kids from public schools talking to one another about this. Those kids are making this decision every single day. And you need to have, it's like, maybe my child can guess it, but it's at that moment that you want to have those values front and center.
Exactly, and that isn't the time to start discussing the values. That's the time to be executing on the values, because the values should have been discussed, planted, ingrained a little bit earlier than that. So that,
and it's so abstract, and parents are so stressed. Oh, I know I should teach my kid values, but how am I going to do it? Here's a simple, easy way. It'll take you a night, and it's bound to help. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. I'm not wagging my finger and telling you. I'm just saying, it's fascinating. I think of all the homes I went into with families while working on The Secrets of Happy Families, and I kept seeing these things just scribbled everywhere on the refrigerator door, on the bedroom wall. I was just fascinated. I kept seeing them, and that's why I realized, wow, there must be something to this, because a lot of people who were trying and making their families work are having mission statements of one kind or another.
It certainly helps to focus. You said earlier, if I recall correctly, that every successful family does three things and does those three things well. They adopt, they talk, they play. Talk is communication, and that communication is, I assume, bilateral. It's not the old school kind of, I'm the parent, you're the child, I'm speaking, you're listening, and that's the end of that. Is that?
I definitely found that successful families talk, and they talk a lot. And I would say they talk in different ways. I mean, there might be some kind where the parent needs to talk and the kids need to listen, but most of it is going to be of a different nature. And, of course, it depends on how old the kid is. So you need to have difficult conversations. You need to talk about sex. You need to talk about money. You need to talk about, your grandparent is aging and they might be sick, and some of these issues are going to come up. But you also want to talk about what it means to be part of your family. That includes the mission statement. That includes talking about history, your family history. It means talking about things at dinner, whatever it might be. So I'm all for any direction. I'm all for parents talking to kids. I'm all for kids talking to parents. I'm all for talking in a circle. I'm all for driving in the car and talking. Driving the car, by the way, for older kids is very effective because, first of all, they're trapped and they can't escape. Second of all, they're not looking at you in the eye. And for teenagers, if you're talking about something like sex or drugs, it's sometimes easier for the kid if it's not eye-to-eye contact. So cars are particularly good for these conversations.
It's absolutely true. Much has been said and written lately on the perils of modern technology on the family. We spend too much time with technology, but not enough time communicating. In your work, you have mentioned extensively that there are technologies that can be put into action to actually make that communication with the families much more effective. I want to talk about that when we come back from break, because I think that is something that a lot of people use as a reason, sometimes well-founded, sometimes it's just a convenient excuse to just say, hey, you know, my kid is not talking to me because they'd rather be texting with their friends, but they're doing the same thing with their friends, and therefore, why not take a presumably negative thing, turn it into a positive? Let's talk more about that when we come back from a short break. My guest is Bruce Feiler. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris FSCU. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join your hosts Gary Ray and Ted Griffin Jr. as they show what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Bruce Feiler. Please visit Bruce's website at brucefeiler.com. His Facebook page is Bruce Feiler, and on Twitter, he is at Bruce Feiler. Also, don't forget the contest that we have running through May 24. The winner will be the co-host of this show. For details, visit straightupwithchris.com. Before the break, we were talking about a variety of different things, especially the importance of having a mission statement. And I wanted to ask Bruce something a little bit off the subject, that much blame has been assigned by parents, either to themselves, to their place of employment, or to their children, that communication is not as effective or not as abundant as it should be because everybody is using electronics and new technologies and so on and so forth to kind of communicate with somebody at a different space, but not within earshot, if you will, not in the physical sense. So that's the negative. But the positive is that new technologies allow an awful lot of busy people like many of our listeners to actually keep connected with their children while they're at work, where physical contact, being face-to-face, is not an option.
Well, here again, I think we're in complete agreement. And I'm a big believer that technology is neutral, that there are pros and cons. So to speak, and you say it's not on topic, it's directly on topic. This completely is one of the big issues in families today. And, of course, it comes up, as you know, in The Secrets of Happy Families. So on the pro side, yes, I think it's very helpful that parents can check in with their children after school, whether it's texting or emailing or whatever it might be, to find out what they're doing, what's your schedule, et cetera. It also is helpful to parents. I know so many men in particular, but some women who are coaching Little League in some capacity, leaving work early to go coach Little League at 5 o'clock because they know they can answer emails at 9 o'clock or time shift a little bit and make family time not as rigid. But there are other benefits also, and that is I live in New York, and my parents live in Savannah, Georgia, where I grew up. My dad is sick and can't travel. My mom is almost a full-time caretaker at this point, and whether it's Skype that allows them to communicate with my kids, whether it's my children having a homework assignment. One of my niece, for example, is doing something about immigration, sends an email to my father who goes looking through his old slides, scans them, sends them to my niece who's doing, one of my kids was doing something about geometric patterns. My parents went around their home in Georgia, took pictures, emailed them to my children. I mean, there are lots of ways that technology can be effective. But it can also be a problem. I do think we need to talk about that. And that is that maybe the number one way it's a problem is that the technology imposes itself where it doesn't, where it's not necessarily welcome. I interviewed a professor in Stanford about this who talked about the fact that children, girls between 8 and 12, boys between a little bit older, 12 and 15, learn to read nonverbal communications. What does that crossed arm mean? Are there someone bored? You need to, you know, the kind of signals that we all interpret without even thinking about it. Children today, because they are spending so much time staring at screens, are not learning those skills. He was saying to me that's one of the reasons that young people go on group dates, is because they find one-on-one dates overstimulating. That is a frightening prospect, and the only counter to it is face-to-face time. So as great as technology might be, you need to have time every day where you're face-to-face, where the technology is put aside. You might think it's not harming you because we all learned those skills before technology was pervasive. But for our children, it's pervasive now. So we must give them these skills. You have to have time where the technology is turned off.
I couldn't agree with you more. Let's talk about a concept that I find very, very intriguing, and that is your concept of Hunger Games at the family dinner table. Tell us about that.
Well, let's just talk about dinner for a second, because one of the biggest guilt associated with modern parenting, all parents have been told that having dinner with your children is positive for the children, and there is a ton of research to back that up. But here's the problem. Many of us can't do it. A third of us are not doing it. Americans rank 33 out of 35 countries in terms of meals together. But you dig deeper into the research, and it's quite revealing. There's only 10 minutes of conversation in any meal. That's 10 minutes. The rest is taken up with take your elbows off the table and pass the ketchup. It's the 10 minutes that really matters. It's the bonding time. If you can do it at dinner, fantastic. But if you can't, try family breakfast, meet for a bedtime snack, even carpool time. So as you said, I tested with my family and extended family and everywhere for about a year, 25 different games that could work, and I put my favorite ones in the Secrets of Happy Families. I call them the Hunger Games. These are things that you can do to make sure that that family time is productive.
The Hunger Games is the idea of getting everyone together, whether it is for dinner or any meal, so long as there is the proverbial breaking the bread and
using
that.
No, you don't need the breaking the bread. You can take a walk together. No, I mean, you can sit by the pool and do this. You can be doing the folding the laundry and doing this. No, I don't think you need the breaking of the bread. That's fine. It's good. It's a safe time. Eating makes everybody comfortable. But no, it doesn't need to be that way, actually. So I would say you can do it any time of day. It's the point. So let me just talk about some of them. I mean, one of them, you can play a simple game called Bad and Good. Have everybody go around, what happened bad to you that day? Everyone go around, what happened good to you that day? It sounds simple, but it's actually having a profound effect, because it's the. When I first told my wife I wanted to do this, she was like, well, nothing bad happened to me today. She doesn't like negativity at all. And I was like, well, no, the point is to give the kids awareness that bad things happen to adults too, and let them see you managing the difficulty. That's the key thing. So, in fact, the bad is in some ways more important than the good. So to say everyone had a bad every day, everybody had a good every day. You can do a game teaching your kids a word a day. Kids have to learn 3,000 words a year. And so if you teach your kid a new word a day, it can have great benefit. And you can bring a newspaper, a magazine. Catalogs are great because they have a lot of strange color names. So we started doing this with our kids, bringing these bringing different things to the table with the idea of teaching them a word a day. The most fascinating thing happened. They said, well, wait a minute, we know words. We want to teach you words that are slang words from school. Amazing. Because suddenly, again, they give us access to what the kids are talking about at school that, of course, we don't know anything about. And it ended up being this incredibly positive thing that we're now having a two-way conversation that turns out to be the highlight of the day for everybody.
Of course. And there's no substitute for that. We have a question from one of our listeners. It comes from Jeff from Richmond, Virginia. Jeff asks, I totally agree that children need to have a voice. My concern is the fine line of when a parent overrides child's opinion or desire and the child rebels, saying, it's not fair and my idea is just as important as yours. How do you handle that?
It's not fair. I would say 12 times today I've heard that, 15 times today
sure.
I've heard that. My kids are identical twins, so the fairness thing is a huge, and I have to say, I'm just so lame about this, because I always say, life's not fair. Whoever told you life was fair, get used to it. Life is not fair. Let's move on. Who gave you that misconception? I think that there are going to have to be times where I write a column in the New York Times, and I've been working on one about clothing, because I'm the father of girls, and inappropriate clothing is a big deal. There's just going to be a time where you're going to have to say, I'm sorry, I understand your friends may do that. I understand they get to stay out late. I understand that maybe their parents allow them to do drugs. But sorry, in our family, that's just not the way we do things, and you're just going to have to deal with that. I'm perfectly fine. I'm not saying that they get to have a say in absolutely everything. But I'm saying there's a lot of space between never letting them have a say. As a parent, I can boss my kids around. I can get them to do almost anything. If I scream loud enough, if I threaten loud enough, if I am so severe, I can get them to do it. That will work a few times a week, maybe. But that's about all. What is the golden ticket of parenting? One of the golden tickets of parenting is to have intrinsically motivated children. If the point is, you're not going to be there when they're going to have those tough conversations about drugs. You're not going to be there when they get to college and start having disagreements with a roommate. They're not going to be there when they're 25, have their first job, and run out of money and have to make some tough choices. You want to give them practice early on when the stakes are lower. As Warren Buffett's banker said to me in the chapter on money and the secrets of happy families, one of my favorite chapters, he said, he was chiding me for not letting my kid make more mistakes with their allowance. And I was like, well, what if they what if they run out of money? What if they burn through it too quickly? What if they drive into a ditch? And he said, it's much better to drive into a ditch with a $6 allowance than a $60,000 a year salary or a $6 million inheritance.
Does that make
intrinsic sense to me? And that's the point. Give your kids practice early on, so that they are more experienced when it comes time for them to make their own decisions, but still keep parental control over the biggest, most important issues.
And I believe that the banker calls that concept taking off the training wheels, and that is absolutely correct. And it just makes so much common sense. Let's talk about more of that and take more of our listeners' questions when we come back from a break. My guest is Bruce Feiler. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Epicea. We'll be back in a moment.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicea understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad.
It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities. It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Bruce Feiler. Please visit Bruce's website at brucefeiler.com. Facebook page is Bruce Feiler, and on Twitter he is @BruceFeiler. We have learned at the very early segment and repeated several times since then that every successful family, every happy family does three things and does three things well. They adopt, they talk, they play. And we talked about just about all of them in different areas, but communication, the talking part, is one that cannot be discussed, you know, frequently enough or give it more importance. And Bruce, you are talking about finding some, almost any kind of topic that gives that elicits interest for the family to talk about, and family history is one of them.
This may be my favorite insight from The Secrets of Happy Families. I wrote a column about this in the New York Times that was the most emailed article for the month. And the insight is this. Talk about your family history. Children who know more about their family history have a host of benefits. Researchers at Emory gave kids a do you know test. Do you know where your grandparents were born, where your parents went to high school, an aunt or an uncle who had cancer that they overcame? The children who knew more about their family history had a higher degree of self-confidence and a greater belief that they could control their own destiny. It was the single highest predictor of a child's emotional well-being. And as the researcher said to me, these kids have a sense that they are part of something larger than themselves. And the hard thing is, I think, as parents, is you want to fling open those doors, talk about not just the positive memories, but also the negative ones, like bring the skeletons out of the closet. Because, why is that? Because my instinct as a parent was to, you know, focus on the positive, like talk about the great things in our family history. But in a way, I'm doing my kids a disservice, and I didn't even realize it. So that the children, they're going to hit their own difficult moment. They're going to hit their own hurdle. They're going to hit their own wall. And if you tell them that other people in their family got through it, it's going to give them the belief they can get through it too.
Exactly. And again, family history is one subtopic of communication, on topic of discussion. The idea here is to keep communication lines, channels open, because they can very frequently provide you avenues of conflict resolution. All families have conflict. The ones that really are successful are the ones that have successful methods of resolving conflict.
Well, that's a just absolutely true statement. And we know a lot. I mean, again, this idea that, oh, our parents didn't do a lot of this. Well, we didn't have knowledge. Our parents didn't use bike helmets, didn't use car seats. They smoked in front of their children. I mean, there's a lot of things that our parents used to do that we don't do anymore. And the fighting is a good example. Conflict resolution as a field is a big field now, but it was invented in the 1970s. It just simply wasn't around before that. And Dr. Spock didn't know this kind of stuff. Right. And there's a knowledge, and then it's one of the chapters in The Secrets of Happy Families that gets people going, because from everything from where you sit to what time of day, right, the highest stress time in families is between 6 and 8. My wife and I, we don't have difficult conversation in that window anymore. We have literally moved it to a different time of day because we know that we're going to be hungry or tired or stressed or whatever it might be. So you can even move when you're having difficult conversations, reduce the tension. That right there will help, right? Don't say you. You know, the worst thing you can say in an argument is you. You always say this. You never do that. So there are simple things. I've got so many ideas about reducing conflict in my book, and like everything else in my book, I'm not telling you that there's only three things or five things or seven things you've got to do. There are so many ideas in there, it's obvious you won't be able to do them all, I guarantee you. But you pick the ones that most apply to you, I guarantee you, you can have a happier family in a week.
No question. And there is, as the father of two girls, and I'm the father of four, there is a very...
Why am I doing the talking and not you? That's what
well,
I want
to know. You know, it's that's because you have two biological ones to my one, but I have three by marriage. Lovely,
oh,
all of them, and you know, successful and
there's right
lovely.
There, by the way, a family that's a model family that didn't exist when Dr. Spock was around.
No
a blended
kidding.
Family.
No kidding. A blended family, and in our case, we blended later on in life with every child being an adult. So it's a wonderful thing. Could not say more about it. But as a father to daughters, it has always been a very important thing to me to teach my daughter that there's nothing that she cannot do that the man can. So the importance of being successful should not at all be hindered by the sex. And there is plenty of evidence here that you have referenced from Carnegie Mellon at MIT that shows that groups that have the higher proportion of females make more effective decisions.
Well, the law to women, it is actually a wonderful tip, and I love it. If you have adult children, if you have adult siblings, and you're making a difficult decision about whether to take the keys from grandma, whether to put somebody in a nursing home homeless, whether to confront somebody about an addiction, these are challenges that people face, and I have tried to write not just about parenting, but also about other family topics here, then if you have more than one woman in the conversation, it's been proven that the conversation will go better, because one woman will, and it's been proven not just in companies, but it's improved among judges. It's been proven in corporate boards that one woman will act like a man, but with more than one woman, the kind of natural sort of more consensus-oriented problem solving will kick in. So if you can have, I call it the law of two women, you have more than one woman, the conversation may go a lot easier.
There is so much to talk about, and we're almost out of time. In the last 30 seconds, give us your parting words to the listeners.
You don't need a grand plan. You don't need a big scheme. You need to take small steps, accumulate small wins. This turns out to be the secret of a happy family, and it's maybe the most surprising and most important thing of all. Try. You can make your family happier. You can make everybody in your family happier.
Nothing will happen unless you try. Bruce, thank you so much for being gracious enough to be a guest on my show. I certainly hope that we will be able to circle back sometime in the future.
Thank you, Chris. Happy travels. I look forward to meeting you in person soon.
Thank you so much. A couple of things about Bruce. His book, again, is The Secrets of a Happy Family, available on Amazon and wherever books are sold, and if you go on Amazon, you will also find the rest of his books, all of which have hit the tops of all charts. Also, since Mother's Day is almost upon us, he wrote a very interesting article on that appeared a couple of days ago on the 7th of May in on the Huffington Post. That the title of it is "Forget Flowers: Five Ways to Make Mom Happier." For those dads who are looking for last-minute things for moms, this is your chance to get some help. So, Ray Roberts, a former NFL offensive tackle with the Seattle Seahawks and Detroit Lions, will be with us next week to discuss leadership on and off the field. So, join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West, on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment. Every moment at work and at home. Happy Mother's Day to all moms, and a special wish to my mom, Persephone, my wife, Juliana, and our daughter, Alexis. I'm Chris Efesiou. We'll talk more next week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.